Support comes from the Arizona Inn, a Four Diamond, family-owned historic resort hotel and restaurant on Elm Street near the U of A. Information is at arizonainn.com.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tucson Weekly editor Jim Nintzel, and I'm here to host Zona Politics on KXCI Community Radio 91.3. My guest today is Tucson City Councilwoman Rahina Romero, who has been on the Tucson City Council representing Ward 1 since 2007 and now is running for mayor. Councilwoman Romero, a lot of people, despite your time in politics, might not know who you are. Who is Rahina Romero and why is she running for mayor?
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Well, I am Rahina Romero, and I've been sitting on the Tucson City Council for the past 11 and a half years. I am a native Arizonan. As a matter of fact, my parents are fifth generation Sonoran desert dwellers. I'm the sixth generation, and my kids are the seventh generation of Sonoran desert dwellers. I was born in Yuma, Arizona, and I'm the sixth in a family of six, first generation born in the U.S., and first to vote. And I moved to Tucson because, thanks to good teachers and counselors, that really showed me how to go about the process of applying for college. I did the whole stuff, and thanks to good teachers and counselors, they showed me the ropes, got accepted to U of A, ASU, one of the best decisions I ever made in my life was to come to Tucson and the U of A, and because it changed my life completely. Tucson really has offered me and my family a wonderful opportunity. All of my sisters, my brother are here. As the youngest, when I moved here, mom and dad were like, what are we doing in Yuma? We need to go to Tucson. So they moved here as well. So we've made our lives here. And one of the reasons that I'm running, it's very simple, Jim. I want to make sure that Tucson is a clean, safe, just, sustainable city with economic opportunity for all. Just like Tucson received our family and really presented us wonderful opportunities, both educational and economic, I want to continue doing that. And I've been in public service for all of my professional career. Public service is what I love, what I want to continue doing. And, I know how to do the job. I've been doing the council work for 11 years, and I could take the wheel from Mayor Rothschild, and without skipping a beat, I know how to do this job, and I'm passionate about it, and I want to continue doing it.
Let's talk a little bit about the Tucson City Council. We often hear members of the business community complain that neighborhoods have too much power. But we also hear neighborhood activists complain that the business community has too much influence. It's a somewhat simplistic breakdown, of course, but I think it speaks to competing interests. And I'm wondering how you, as a member of the Tucson City Council, see that conflict in today's Tucson politics.
I think that we need to make sure that we look at the needs of the business community and the needs of neighbors. In my 11 years on the Tucson Council, I've had to weigh the needs of the business community and economic development, and always trying to be respectful to the input of neighborhoods. Just like I have pushed, for example, with the infill incentive district and approved, I voted to approve, all of the projects along the infill incentive district. We've also done
And when you say
policy.
Let me just interrupt you there. When you talk about the infill incentive district, what are we talking about there for our listeners out there who – who might not be familiar with sort of the getting into the weeds, and I don't want to get too deep in the weeds, but the people who don't understand what infill incentive district is in Tucson, talk about that a little.
The infill incentive district, we passed on the Tucson City Council back in 2009, I believe. And the reason we passed it is because our land use codes were very, very restrictive and very suburban. And so what we asked of the Planning and Development Services department was bring us land use codes where we can have transit-oriented development, where we could have mixed uses, mixed incomes, bring us something that is much more urban in nature. And the infill incentive district was created, and we had to change it around. I believe in 2013, we changed it around because neighborhoods said we want to see much more. We want to be part of this, right? We want to have a say on design guidelines and other things. So we changed it based on, back to your question, based on neighborhood input, we changed the infill incentive district. But it really is an area of the city where we wanted to encourage infill and mixed-use transit-oriented development.
And it roughly covers what in the city of Tucson?
That roughly covers a little bit of the west side, downtown, through 4th Avenue and 6th Avenue, 4th Avenue, and we also have the Main Gate District. We also have Stone and some of Drachman and Oracle.
So it's kind of the downtown area plus the light rail route, it sounds like, and
absolutely
that area. I wanted to actually talk a little bit about 4th Avenue. We're seeing some changes there, apartments at 4th Avenue and 6th Street, where the nightclub used to be, and further south near the underpass. Some folks are worried that the unique charm of local business on 4th Avenue could be lost as more development happens there. We saw the use of a community benefits agreement with the project at 4th and 6th. Do you have concerns about gentrification, I guess, for lack of a better word, along 4th Avenue?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, the 4th Avenue Coalition, and that was something that that we worked with the developers that were interested in developing that, you know, that the new housing on the Flycatcher. And at the beginning, to be honest with you, at the beginning, 4th Avenue businesses and neighbors surrounding 4th Avenue were very upset. They didn't want to see it happen. What I pushed as a as an individual council member with the developers, I said, look, why don't you go back? Why don't you sit down with a 4th Avenue coalition, with neighbors in the area, and see if you can come up with consensus? I really do believe in sitting down and trying to reach consensus, because nothing is all good or all bad, right? And the concerns that 4th Avenue businesses and merchants and neighbors in the area are legitimate. They want to see more better design. They wanted to see a true transit-oriented development. In that the developers provided different modes or opportunities to different modes of transportation. They wanted to see local businesses leasing the commercial retail space underneath. And so they sat down, developers sat down with 4th Avenue Coalition and with neighbors, and they penned it out. They actually came up with a community benefits agreement. And last night, as a matter of fact, we just had the Union on 6 come to us and for their final process for their GPLIT. And there was the 4th Avenue Coalition saying, we support this. We like what they're doing. We've worked through this and, you know, we would like for you to approve it. So I think that there is always an opportunity to sit down, come to consensus. And usually, you know, in the 11 years that that I've been on the council, when a developer comes to our office and they say, I have this idea, the first thing that I say to them is, the best thing you could do, even though it's not absolutely required, is to go to your neighborhood association in the area and tell them your idea. Tell them what you want to do. And they'll tell you, you know, this is what we'd like to see. This is what we don't want to see. It'll save you a lot of headaches. You know, we have to make sure that we continue. You asked me earlier about affordability and displacement and gentrification. That is something that has been in my mind for some time. Actually, as a matter of fact, it's always been on my mind. You know, I talked to you earlier about being a public servant. I worked 10 years for Pima County. 5 of those years with a bond-funded program called Neighborhood Reinvestment. And part of Neighborhood Reinvestment was housing reinvestment, which Pima County funded projects, affordable housing projects. And since then and before, I've always understood what affordable housing is, affordable and workforce housing is for neighborhoods and for individuals, for seniors and families, even students. Being able to afford and not worrying about how you're going to pay your rent for seniors and for, you know, families and for students, it's a stabilizing force. And in my 11 years on the council, I've always advocated for workforce and affordability. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I required from the developers on the west side, the Gadsden company, is for them to have affordable and workforce housing, because affordable housing shouldn't be an afterthought. It should be part of the planning of creating any great city. On the west side, we have the West End Station, which will provide about 73 units to families, and we have about similar amount of affordable housing for seniors.
If you're just joining us, I'm Jim Ninsel, your host for Zona Politics, and we are talking with City Councilwoman Rahina Romero, who's pursuing the mayor's seat this week. She is a Democrat running. The other Democrats in that race are former state lawmaker Steve Farley and local developer Randy Dorman. And Rahina, what is your take on the Families Free and Together initiative, the so-called Sanctuary City initiative?
This is an issue. Immigrant rights, human rights is an issue that has been close to my heart. As a matter of fact, even before I got elected, I was, you know, a young organizer that, you know, that showed up to rallies and picket lines and stood for these issues, for immigrant rights, human rights. Now what we're seeing is asylum seekers. And so I've led on the council on making the city of Tucson an immigrant welcoming community. I led to take a stand against SB 1070. I led to change the general orders at TPD when it comes to their immigration policy. I've led on multiple ordinances to, you know, take stands on DACA and their parents, and I mean, so on and so on and so on. And saying that, it pains me to say that this particular initiative, I do not agree with. First and foremost, because 50% of what the initiative is asking for, we've already done in the city of Tucson through that change of the general orders at TPD. And one of the most important issues that concern me in the initiative is the possibility, because the state legislature has been trying to micromanage and to a point very successful micromanagement of cities and towns, I would say for the last 8 years, they passed a bill that's called SB 1487. And this particular bill, any one legislator can accuse a city, town, or county of violating state laws and the punitive action of even being found in contempt is the state legislature, the attorney general has the right to remove state shared revenue from that particular city. And so the possibility of putting the city of Tucson in financial risk and instability if this initiative passes, and by the way, Representative Fincham has already said he will file that complaint to the attorney generals. We receive $140 million of state shared revenue. That hit to our budget could be absolutely destabilizing. I would much rather work with the writers of the initiative and the people that wrote this initiative and try and find solutions that we can all unify in and push forward as a unified community that wants to see not just our city, but our state as an immigrant welcoming state. The problem is that many cities across California have declared themselves sanctuary cities, but they live in California. They have a state that actually is a progressive state that believes in immigrant rights and human rights. We live in Arizona. We're the state of the SB 1070 state.
So you're saying this could really shine a negative.
Our prio. It could
shine a negative light upon the city in the perspective of Republican state lawmakers or even on the national level.
Absolutely. And to be honest with you, the city of Tucson is one of the most progressive cities in Arizona when it comes to this issue. I don't think we're the problem. I think we should find the roots of the problem, which, you know, one of the root of the problem is SB 1070.
And that's something the city of Tucson doesn't have too much control over, other than what you've done so far with the general orders.
Absolutely.
With TPD and whatnot. You know, you've long been a champion of public transit, and the transit system has several funding sources, including federal dollars and the fare paid by drivers. I think that covers between 20 and 25% of the cost of the system. But it does require a significant investment from the city's general fund. And of course, you're arguing over budget. Some people complain the city spends too much on the transit from the general fund. Other people say it spends too little. What are your thoughts about the city's investment in transit? Is it just about right, too little, too much? And what would you like to see happen with the bus system?
I think that our investment in transit is good in so many different ways. We need to understand that our transit system is not only for personal use, but it is also an environmental and sustainability issue. It should be, you know, and that's what I've been saying for some time, and I will continue saying that our transit systems should be reliable, affordable, and part of the sustainability conversation. I hustled big time along with so many different people, congressional delegates and our current mayor. So many people advocated to build the streetcar, right? We, as a community, came together, we rallied, we lobbied, and we received $63 million in grants to create it. It has been a game changer for the economy in the city of Tucson. We have seen, because of that investment and other investments that I've personally voted on to make, we've seen $1 billion in private investment.
In the downtown
areas.
That is part
of the transit equation, right?
Yeah, and we're talking about the downtown area when you say the $1 billion figure.
Right,
basically the streetcar.
Only the downtown area, because right. The rest of the city has seen a lot of investment in the past 8 years, but we're talking about the transit system, and the streetcar is part of that transit system.
Sure.
Now, what we have to do is we have to make sure that, and I'm going to lead on this, that we continue investing in our transit system, that we, you know, make our transit system much more electric, because the transit system should be part of the climate change equation, right? It should be part of the sustainability, and then the economy. people that rely on our transit system have to go to work, have to go to school. There's people that use it to, you know, go to their doctor's appointment. The transit system keeps people moving, going to where they need to go. We have to make it much more reliable. And we have to make sure that we're adding other creative systems that other cities use, right? The city of Tucson doesn't have a bus rapid transit system, which would be less expensive than streetcar extensions, but would basically serve similar purposes. So down Broadway, down Speedway, down Grant, down Oracle, we need to explore how bus rapid transit systems work. Other cities have done it, and we need to do that ourselves.
And so it sounds like you're looking for a greater investment. Are you thinking more money from the general fund than towards the transit system?
What I'm thinking is the transit system is already a regional system. The Regional Transportation Authority has contributed to expanding routes. The Regional Transportation Authority is coming to a place where we need to start talking about whether there's going to be an extension of the RTA. And so I think we need to, you know, I think we need to make sure that we're having that conversation, and that the transit system is a big part of any future conversation about the Regional Transportation Authority and how to expand it in the future.
So you're looking to find the money more through that. And there's a potential, right now the half-cent sales tax funds the RTA plan, and there's now legislation as of just a few weeks ago that allow the city of Tucson or the county to go for a full cent and possibly expand the mission to allow more street repairs, more bus service, more and less focus on expanding arterials, although certainly there was transit funding within the original RTA.
Right. And the city of Tucson receives millions of dollars of investment from the federal government to help purchase vans for Sunvan and buses for SunTran. And so we receive a lot of investment from the federal government for our transit system. And so that's another space where we could, you know, reevaluate how we do that investment. Just as a matter of fact, just last night at our council meeting, we were talking about the budget. And the city of Tucson is receiving millions of dollars to purchase 23 new buses. My question to the city manager was, how can we electrify and diversify our buses? And so we're going to research that and see if we could make sure that we, you know, that we can make those investments. But we need to be smart about it. And we can't continue doing what we've been doing without evaluating where we're going and how to do it better.
And if you're just joining us, I'm Jim Ninsel, your host for Zone of Politics here on Community Radio KXCI 91.3 FM. And I'm talking with City Councilwoman Rahina Romero, who is running for mayor of Tucson this year. Other Democrats in that race include former state lawmaker Steve Farley, along with downtown developer Randy Dorman. And let me ask you about recycling, because that's an item that's coming up and the city's dealing with this. We've got about 5 minutes left on our program here. But recycling has become a problem in many cities because China isn't accepting as much material as it did in the past. And in many cases, people throw stuff into the recycling that should go into the trash and various other issues. The city of Tucson is now looking at changing how it runs its recycling program and possibly what it will even try to recycle. Your thoughts on the future of the recycling program at this point?
Well, we just had a conversation about this last night at the council meeting, and what the direction that we gave the city manager and the environmental services director was, it had a lot of input. First and foremost, I think that we need to be much more creative about how to solve our recycling issues that we see. And like you said, you know, it's issues that are happening throughout the country, and I wonder why China doesn't want to get our recyclables anymore. I wonder if it has anything to do with Trump charging them crazy amounts of tariffs for their goods. But anyway, that's another issue. So the direction that we gave was go to every other week recycling, and then to come back to us as soon as possible with a much more comprehensive and holistic view of how we're doing things. I just told you that we need to think creatively and outside of how we've traditionally done things with our transit system. It's the same thing with our recycling system. It's not just about consumption and use, and then we're not at a place where we can just recycle anything and use whatever we want. We also have to start thinking about reducing waste and re-educating our community to that concept of reduction of waste and reuse of material. And so I was very upset to learn a few, maybe about a month ago, that we only have about $80,000 of investment in environmental services for community education. This is compared to $800,000 from Tucson Water in community education. And so we also requested that the Environmental Services Department come back with an educational component, with looking at environmental services as part of the sustainability conversation. I've been asking, as mayor, I'll lead, and I've been asking this for years, but as mayor, you have the bully pulpit. You can push much more for a climate action plan. And part of the climate action planning is talking about our waste. And so we need to make sure that we're thinking differently about environmental services. And then there's a few other things. You know, I don't like departments to come to us without thinking outside the box, without thinking creatively, and just say, you know what, let's have the community, the ratepayer, the resident, pay more. When in fact, we have looked at reviewing our routes since 2008, they haven't looked at how our sorting process is, if we need more optical scanners to make sure that we're recycling the cleanest of materials. They haven't looked at education, like I said earlier. And so there's so many things that we went over last night that hadn't been reviewed, that we sent back the environmental services director and said, nope, you need to get much more creative, bring us a comprehensive plan, and then we can talk.
All right. Councilman Romero, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on Zone of Politics. We are out of time. There's so much more to talk about, and I'm sure we will between now and the August primary.
I just want to let people know that as the only Democratic candidate or otherwise serving as a council member, I'm the most prepared to do this job. And I'm also the only clean elections candidate that's running either under Democratic or any other party. And so I wanted to invite people to visit my website at votereginaromero.com and check out my accomplishments, my endorsements, and what I plan to do for the city of Tucson residents.
Very well, Councilwoman. Thank you again for joining us here on Zone of Politics. I'm Jim Ninsel, your host, and that's going to do it for our show this week. We will be back next week with a new program. Thank you so much for listening.
Zone of Politics is made possible with the generous support of the Loft Cinema, Tucson's independent movie theater. The Loft features independent, foreign, and documentary films, cult classics, discussions with filmmakers, and much more, including the Loft Film Fest in November. The Loft is located at 3233 East Speedway Boulevard. Showtimes can be found at loftcinema.org.